Let's get started. So we're going to start from the Mishnah on the top of Chav Beis Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah tells us, Sukkah ha-meduvleles v'shetzilasa meruba mechamasa k'sher. So we're going to leave the word meduvleles untranslated. For now, it's going to be a machlokas in the Gemara, what exactly that means. So some type of a sukkah, and a sukkah that has more shade than sun, as we know, is kosher. Then the Mishnah says, ha-me'uva k'min bayis, afal pi she'en ha-kochavim nirin mitocha k'shera. If let's say the schach is so thick to the point that you cannot see the stars through the schach, the Mishnah says that's also okay. So my miduvlas, what did the Mishnah mean when it said a sukkah miduvlas? So Amar Rav sukkah aniya, Ushmol Amar kana ulev kana yomi. Rav says it just means that that your schach is very sparse. You don't have a lot of schach as roofing on your sukkah. Shmuel says that what the pshat is that you have your regular schach, but you have these gaps, these spaces in between each pole. So then you have an upper layer that essentially is directly on top of the space that's in between all the poles of the lower schach. So the Gemara explains, Rav tanichada Shmuel tanitarte. Rav tanichada sukkah meduvleles, my meduvleles, midulleles, shetzilasa meruba mechamasa k'shera, Shmuel tanitarte, my meduvleles, mivulbeles, So not only is there a machlokas about how to define the word miduvleles, but there's also a textual machlokas about how to even read the Mishnah. According to Rav, the first line in the Mishnah is one phrase, sukkah hamiduvleles shetzilasa meruba mechamasa k'shera, meaning that last phrase of more shade than sun is modifying the first phrase according to Rav. Rav's definition of miduvleles, as we just mentioned, is a sparsely roofed sukkah. So Rav says that such a sukkah is going to be kosher, again, provided that you have obviously more shade than sun. Whereas Shmuel thinks that there are two separate clauses in the Mishnah. The first clause is talking about the sukkah with the upper layer of schach that's directly above the spaces, as we just mentioned. That's his definition of miduvleles. And then there's a separate clause in the Mishnah that says that if you have, generally speaking, a sukkah with more shade than sun, is kosher. Now again, why Shmuel has to mention this again, we already know that back from the beginning of the Masechta, is a good question. But the bottom line is that according to Shmuel, there are two separate clauses in the Mishnah. However, the Gemara qualifies this. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela she'ein bein zela ze shlosha tfachim. So Abaye qualifies this statement in the Mishnah. That which the Mishnah told us, that either a sparsely roofed sukkah or a sukkah with the upper layer of schach directly over the space of the lower layer of schach is kosher, that's assuming that the gap between the schach is less than three tefachim, because then you can rely on lavud. The gap between the schach is more than three tefachim, says Abaye, then the sukkah is going to be pasul. However, Amar Rava, afilu yesh bein zeh lazeh shlosha tefachim nami lo amran, ela she'ein begago tefach, avo yesh begago tefach kshira da amrin chavit ramei. Rava disagrees with Abaye. Rava says it's not true. Even if you have a gap of more than three tefachim, you can still potentially salvage the sukkah, provided that the roof of the sukkah is at least a tefach wide. Why does that matter? So Rav invokes the principle called chavit rame. Chavit rame literally means to lower and cast down the upper layer of schach into the lower layer, meaning if the roofing of your sukkah is at least a tefach wide, you can invoke this concept. It's very similar to good asik and good achas, like drawing these imaginary lines and, you know, up and down. So essentially what you can do is you can envision the upper layer of schach that as if it's filling in all the gaps of the lower layer, which essentially means that even though you may have had a gap of more than three tefachim, but if the roof is more than a tefach wide, you can envision that upper layer of schach filling in all those gaps, and thereby you can invoke the principle of lavud. Okay.
But what does that mean? The roof is at least tefach wide. How can you have a sukkah that isn't?
There's no minimum requirement for the width of the roof of a sukkah. You could have, in theory, you could make a very narrow sukkah as long as the body of the sukkah, the height and the length, met the dimensions, right? So in theory, I mean, it would be probably a very strange looking sukkah, but you could have a 7 by 7.
A sukkah like a pyramid?
Exactly. I'm saying, for example, you have people who live in the apartments in, you know, let's say apartments in Israel. You live on the 20th floor, and you have to build a sukkah on your little tiny patio, so you don't necessarily have a ton of space to build out a roof so far. So it's not impossible. Again, I don't think anyone really has a sukkah today where the roof is less than a tefach. But in theory, you could have that. There's no halacha that says that your roof has to be more than a tefach. It's just that it's going to impact this halacha of chavit rame. That's what the Gemara is saying.
Like a teepee.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rava, what's the basis for this distinction? Meaning, how do I know that if my roof is at least a tefach wide, then I can invoke this principle of chavit rami, that I can envision the upper layer of schach being lowered down, and if it's less than a tefach, then I cannot? This not. So the Gemara says, a Mishnah from Maseches Ahalos. So the Mishnah says, Koro sabayis fo ha'aliyah she'ein aleya ma'azeva, v'hein mechuvanus tumah tachas achas, man, tachteh hatame. So imagine you have these beams of wood on your on the roof of your house. So you have it on the first level and also on the second story. You have these beams of wood, but there's no plaster that's connecting the two beams. In other words, the two sets of beams on your first level and the second level are basically two separate entities, and there's a source of tumah that's underneath, let's say, the lower roofing. So let's say, for example, there's a dead body underneath the lower, in other words, under the beams of the lower level of the house. So the Mishnah in Alo says that only the area on the lower level of the house is going to become tame. Then the Mishnah, the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah, Bein atachtona le'elyona bein nehen tame, al gabe ha'elyona kenegda ad l'rakia tame. If the source of impurity, if the dead body, let's say, is in the middle, in between the roofing of the bottom level and the roofing of the upper level, so then only the middle part is going to become tame. And if the dead body is on top of the second level, then everything from there up to the heavens, unless there's some kind of a mechitza, is going to become tame. Then the Gemara says, Hayu ha'elyonos kevena tachtonos, tuma tachten, tachas kulan tame, al gabeyan kenegdan ad l'rakia tame. Now this is the part that's important for us. Let's say you had the scenario that we described earlier by Sukkah. You had the upper level of beams directly above the spaces of the lower level. That was the example we quoted in the context of Sukkah. And there's a dead body underneath the lower level. So then basically, the Gemara says that everything underneath there is going to become Tameh, but everything from the upper level and upwards is obviously going to remain Tar. If the source of impurity is on top of the second level, then obviously everything going from there up is going to become Tameh. The Sani Allah and the Braisa commented on this Mishnah, The Gemara infers from this Mishnah and Alos that the only time we envision the upper level of roofing to be lowered into the space of the lower level is only if you have at least a tefach. So if you have a tefach, then you can envision the roofing being lowered down. Now it happens to be interesting that in the case of Tuma, it actually turns into a chumra, because if you invoke the principle of Chavad Rameh by Tuma, what you're essentially saying is that not only is the lower level tamei, but the upper level is too, because you're lowering the upper level into the lower level. In the context of sukkah, it actually turns out to be a kula that your sukkah is valid. But again, that part's not really relevant. The question is really where and when do we invoke chavad rami? So the Gemara says, you see from this Mishnah and Olos that the roofing has to be at least a tevach. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Kahana.
Yeah, sure. Rabbi, yeah. It seems like the Gemara is almost using the concept of lovage by stating the tefach. That they're close enough that they can almost be connected.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to mix and match halacha l'moshe misinai, because lovage, we know, is three tefachim, and it's not exactly the same principle.
That's what I was going to ask. Is there a maximum? In other words, say they're 10 tefachim apart. Can you still connect?
You're saying for this principle of Chavit Rameh, doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's only a minimum share. It sounds like as long as it's larger than a tefach of width, then it's fine. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Kahana v'ka'amar l'hashmai. Yosef Rav Kahana was sitting and discussing this halacha. Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana v'chol hicha de'leis be'tefach lo amrinu chavit rami. So now Rav Kahana, now Rav Ashi is going to question this halacha. Is it really true that when you have the width of less than a tefach, you cannot invoke the principle of chavit rami? V'hatani, we have a braisa. This Gemara was actually cited a little bit earlier in the Masechta. It's also quoted in Erevin. Kora hayotza mikosal zeh ve'ino no gas b'chosal zeh. V'chein shtei koro sachas yotza mikosal zeh v'achas yotza mikosal zeh ve'ino no gas Zobazo, Pachos Mishlosha Ino Tsarach Lahavi Koracheres, Shlosha Tsarach Lahavi Koracheres, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Pachos Mearba Ain Tsarach Lahavi Koracheres, Arba Tsarach Lahavi Koracheres. So we're not even into the question yet. This is all a background to get to the Gemara's question. So just to understand the cases here, the Gemara is discussing a person who's trying to make what's called a Shitufi Mivo. We spoke a lot about this back in Erevin. You're trying to merge alleyways together to permit you to carry from one to the other on Shabbos. So the question is, you need to, of course, either have a Korach or a lechi, as we know back from the beginning of Erevin. So the Mishnah in Erevin, the Gemara in Erevin, gives various scenarios. So one scenario is you have a beam of wood that's protruding from a wall, but it doesn't touch the other wall. Or you have two beams of wood from each wall, but neither are touching one another. So the question is, can you envision those two beams as if they're connected to form a valid kora or not? So basically, the Gemara says, the Machloka says, how do you define lovin? Now we paskin that lovin is a gap of less than three tefachim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel happens to hold that it's a gap of less than four tefachim. So basically, the bottom line is that if the gap is less than than three or four tefachim, depending on which shita you're following, then you don't have to bring in another korah. Then the korah is valid the way it is, even though they're not physically touching one another. The gap is more than three or four tefachim, then obviously you're going to have to introduce another korah in order to merge them together. Again, that part is not relevant to our question. The Gemara continues. V'chein shtei koros hamasimos, lo bezo kedei lekabel ariach, v'lo bezo kedei lekabel ariach, im mekabelus ariach l'rach po tefach, ein tzarech l'havi korah acheres, v'im lav tzarech l'havi korah acheres, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel lo mer mekabelus ariach l'arko shlosh tefachim, ein tzarech l'havi korah acheres, v'im lav tzarech l'havi korah acheres. Another unrelated point, but this, again, this is all getting to the point of the Gemara. The Gemara then says, what if I have two very narrow parallel crossbeams? So they're not going at each other, but they're going in the same direction. But the problem is that neither of the beams on their own are wide enough to hold a brick that's a tefach. So according to the Tanakhama, as long as if the two beams together are wide enough to hold at least a tefach and hold a brick that's at least a tefach, then it's okay. Then it's a valid korah. If not, you have to introduce another korah. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he's more makel about the definition of a korah. He says it doesn't need to hold, in other words, only one tefach. Even if it has the width of three tefachim, then that's also okay. So as long as between the two beams, you can hold three tefachim, you don't have to introduce another korah. Again, all of this is really a side point. Then this is the part that's relevant to our question. In this scenario, one beam is higher up than the other. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Roen ha'elyona ki'ilu hi lamata, v'yesa tachtona ki'ilu hi lamala, uvilvad shelo tehei elyona lamala me'etrim ama, v'hatachtona lamata me'asara. So you can basically envision the two beams as if they're on par, provided that the upper beam is no higher than 20 amos, and the lower beam is no lower than 10 tfachim. Hazev zeb is so chesrim, amrina chavud ramei afa gav de leis b'tefach. This is the question. The implication of this final case of the Gemara is that if the two beams are within 20 amos and 10 tefachim, in other words, they're not lower than 10 tefachim or higher than 20 amos, then you can invoke chavud ramei even if there's a width of less than a tefach, which is against everything we said in the Gemara earlier. So how do you resolve that? So amar le taritz ve'ema hachi uvilvad shelo tehei alyona lamala me'esrim ela besoch esrim ve'hatachtona smucha la befachos mishlosha inami bilvad shelo tehei tachtona lamata me'asara ela lamala me'asara ve'alyona smucha la befachos mishlosha. The bottom line is, says the Gemara, that in other words, yes, it's true that one of the beams has to be less than 20 amos high or higher than 10 tefachim off the ground, but the other beam also has to be within 3 tefachim of the other one. In other words, if there's a gap of more than 3, so let's say, for example, the upper beam is 19 amos high and the lower beam is 11 tefachim high, that's not going to work. Then you're going to still have to introduce another korah because there's a gap of more than 3 tefachim. So it's almost like what Shlomo was saying before, it's almost like we're overlapping the principles of Lavud and Chavud Rami now. So the Gemara is basically saying that the only time that we say that Chavud Rami can apply if it's more than a tefach is assuming that there's a gap of less than 3 tefachim between the beams. If there's a gap of more than 3 tefachim, if there's also a width of less than a tefach, then you cannot invoke the principle of Chavud Rami. Okay, then the Mishnah said, V'shetzilasa meruba mechamasa ksher. The Mishnah told us that if there's more shade than sun, the sukkah is kosher. So the Gemara says, Hakiyada depsula. The implication of the Mishnah is that if the shade and sun are 50-50, it sounds like it's puzzle. The problem is, back in the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara, the Mishnah said that more sun than shade is puzzle, implying that if it's 50-50, then it's kosher. So which one is it? Says the Gemara, lo kasha, kan milamala, kan milamata, amar of papa, hainu da amri inshe, kezuza milael, keistara milasachas. Depends whether you're looking at the top part of the sukkah or the bottom. As light goes further down, it diffuses. So in other words, if you have exactly 50-50 shade and sun on the roofing on the schach, then you're guaranteed to have more of an imbalance of shade, more shade than sun when you get down to the bottom. That's why Rapapa quotes this aphorism, this saying that if it looks like a zuz on top, it'll look like an istara, which is a wider coin on the bottom. So in other words, as light goes down, it diffuses and you actually have more than what you thought originally. Okay, then we said Mu'uvakim and bias. We said even if the schach is thick like the roofing of the house, its sukkah is still kasher. Tana Rabbanan Mu'uvakim and bias alpha pisha in a kochavim near mitocha ksher. Even though you can't see the stars, doesn't matter. The sukkah is kosher. However, in kochvei chama nirin mitocha beishamei posin v'stil machshir. And if you can't see the rays of sun coming through the schach, that's a machlokas. According to beishamei, that's a problem. Beisil says that's still okay. Okay, and then finally, the Mishnah says ha'osa sukaso berosha agala o berosha svina ksheira ve'olin labiyantif berosha ilon agabe gamal ksheira ve'ein olin labiyantif. If one builds a sukkah on top of a wagon or on a boat, that's a valid sukkah, and you're allowed to go into that sukkah on yantif. It's not you can ascend the sukkah on yantif. However, if you built the sukkah in a tree or on a camel, so although the sukkah is kosher, you cannot go on that on Yontif, because again, there's a gzera d'rabbanan, and using a tree on Shabbos or on Yontif is mukta, even going on an animal may be problematic as well. So again, in other words, the sukkah would be valid, let's say, on Chol HaMoed, but you couldn't use it on Shabbos or Yontif. Then the Mishnah says, shtayim ba'ilun va'achas b'de'adam, or shtayim b'de'adam v'achas b'ilun k'shera v'ein olam l'b'yontif, shalosh b'de'adam v'achas b'ilun k'shera v'ein olam l'b'yontif. Let's say you built either two walls, you know, on the ground and one in the tree, or one or two in the tree and one on the ground. So again, the sukkah could be a valid sukkah. It's just that you can't go in it on Yontif, because again, you have one of the walls in the tree. But if three of the walls are on the ground, so it's basically a valid sukkah even without the tree, then you would be allowed to ascend into the sukkah on Yontif. Zeh haklal kol sheyinotel ha'ilun v'yichol olamo b'fnei atzma k'shira v'olam l'b'yontif. If the sukkah could stand on its own without the tree, it's a valid sukkah by itself, then there's no issue with going into the sukkah on Yontif.